We're continuing our studies in Romans chapter 5, and I just want to confess unto you that I struggle with trying to get a lesson put together in a way that I can get it all said in 35 or 40 minutes. And as I work on the thoughts that are presented in these verses, it's just sometimes very hard to do. And so this has been a time of struggling for me to get these thoughts together. And one of the reasons is this, is because of tradition. When I say tradition, it's things that we've always heard and we have sort of accepted without really examining the context and the words that are found in the context. And so I would like to read this morning Romans chapter 5 verses 12 through 21. This will give us some verses that we need to comprehend, or to help us to comprehend what's going on in this chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by the sin. There's a definite article, the, before sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death, that is, the death, there's a definite article, the, before death, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto the many. I want you to get that one verse. What I want you to get out of that verse is the word many. Here it says the offense also is the free gift, for if through the offense of one, the many be dead. This is not talking about all of mankind being dead in their trespasses and sins. The subject matter has focused to a particular group. And this group is the many, not the all. In other words, Jesus Christ died on the cross for how many? Well, it included the many, but it was for everybody. So we've got two groups of people. And the many are included in the all. Okay? Now, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense the death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In other words, we're talking about those who will rule and reign with Christ. And the only way that you can rule and reign with Christ is if you have pleased Him. And the only way that you can please God is by grace. We are to have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. And so therefore, and the only way you can get grace to serve Him acceptably is by faith. Rather than misquote it, I'm going to just read it from the first verses of chapter 5. We're already there looking, well, you don't have your Bibles open, but it says in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we get grace? By faith. It's the grace of God that gives us the strength to continue on. to continue on being faithful. It takes the grace of God and the strength of God and the power of Christ not to quit. And beloved, we're living in the last days and lawlessness abounds. And you know what? The love of the many is waxing cold. This is a small group of people. The many whose love and obedience, because if you love me, you keep my commandments, is waxing cold, means that you're becoming lukewarm and you're not as hot as you need to be in serving the Lord. You're not pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lawlessness affects us today. It affected those in the days of Noah. It affected those in the days of Lot. Even Lot was just. And he struggled with leaving Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels were telling him to hit the road, Jack. Get out of here. And they struggled with leaving. They didn't want to leave. Anyway, let's continue. For by one man's offense, the death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one the many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin or the sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as the sin hath reigned unto the death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto age-lasting life. The word eternal is from the Greek word aion, which correctly is translated age. It's a noun, but it's used as an adjective. So how do you take the word age and make an adjective out of it? Well, age abiding, age lasting. Just if you look at the word, you see that it's an adjective and it's describing some life. And it's, what age is it? It's the millennial age. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Without Jesus Christ being our high priest, we couldn't please Him. We would not have the strength to carry on faithfully for Him. Now, what I have been trying to share with you the last few Sundays, and I feel like I haven't done a very adequate job of doing it, is I've been trying to show you that the one who failed in the Garden of Eden, Adam, he lost something that God gave him. Now, one of the things that we have to appreciate is this, that Adam is truly unique. We cannot really relate to Adam. Adam lived in a period of time that we have never lived, and no one since him has ever lived. And what happened to Adam is that he, by choice, accepted the sin of his bride, Eve. And God had given him dominion over the earth. You know who was king and who ruled and reigned on the earth in the days of Adam and Eve? They did. God gave him dominion. But when Adam sinned, the sin of lawlessness, he was demoted. He spiritually died, of course, but God took care of that with the coats of skin, I believe. But he did not die physically, because he lived 930 years. What I want to teach you is this. It's the sin of lawlessness that caused him to lose what he had. The authority, the power, the rulership over the earth. You know what? You and I can lose the same privilege in the coming kingdom. If you and I live a lawless life, We are going to pay for it. Even though we're a child of God, we're going to pay for it. And we're not going to like the consequences of it. In fact, I believe that we need to associate the consequences of it with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'm not talking about hell, and I'm not talking about necessarily a burning flame of fire. Let me tell you this. I have wept and gnashed my teeth, and I wasn't touching anything on fire. When I was cheated on by a girl that I thought I was going to marry. You know what? That provided a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because somebody was not, could not be trusted, that I trusted, and that she would not honor our relationship. You know, this type of thing. So weeping and gnashing of teeth doesn't come because we set our body on fire or that type of thing. It comes from mental anguish. And knowing that if we are faithful to the Lord, we will rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. If we're unfaithful, we will be disqualified from ruling and reigning. If you can't be faithful over little, you think God's going to give you much to be faithful over or to rule and reign over? No, He will not do that. So, I just wanted you to see that this is not a very easy passage to decipher because we're talking about another group. We're not talking about all the human race. We're talking about a specific group. And that group is in the body of Christ. And hopefully I will be able to show you that this morning. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it's a good place to start. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. In other words, we have many members in the body of Christ. Some are ears, some are eyes, some are noses, some are feet, some are hands. We don't have all the same, we don't all function alike. In other words, I can't look at you and being an eye and scold you for not seeing if you're a hand. That's wrong. Okay? But here, it continues on. So we, that is, those to whom Paul is writing and himself, the word being is in italics. It's been added, and I think it's been an unfortunate thing that they did, because he's referring to many, and there is a definite article the before many. We, the many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In other words, there is a body in Christ that's referred to as the many. And this many, I believe, and I'm persuaded is the many that have been called where there have been just a few chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. I personally feel like that the elect or the chosen have been called as well. They're in that group. They are among the many. Now what was the calling unto? 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That we would walk worthy of God. The called need to walk worthy, not to get saved, but to get rewarded. A worthy walk is going to be honored. When? When we stand before the Lord. And He has called us unto His kingdom and glory. The calling is to His kingdom, not to the family. Another passage I think it's either 1 or 2 Timothy, He saved us and called us with a holy calling. Before you can be called, you have to be saved. God is not calling the lost to His kingdom and glory. That doesn't make sense and it doesn't fit. Now, in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore as by one man the sin entered into the world, and the death by the sin. So that we're talking about a particular sin and we're talking about a particular death. This isn't physical death. This has to do with the death of your life as far as the coming kingdom is concerned. You can perish And by the way, let me just say this. Only people who are alive can perish. And I consider everyone that who is not saved is dead in their trespasses and sins. A dead man can't perish. Only those who have life can perish. And only those who are saved have a life that they can lose. Now they can't lose their eternal salvation, okay? They cannot lose, in other words, they have eternal security in that they are going to be in the family, but they can lose what they want to enjoy. Did the children of Israel who came out of Egypt perish in the wilderness? They sure did. And that included Moses and Aaron. They came out to enjoy a promise God gave them of a land flowing with milk and honey. And all those people got were scorpions and lizards and dust, sand and heat. There was nothing. In other words, they lost. They perished in the wilderness, missing the blessing of the land of Canaan. We can do the same thing. We can miss the better inheritance. Okay? Now, so there, by one man, the sin entered into the world, and the death by the sin. So, the death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In fact, so in this way, the death has passed upon all men. In other words, all of us get credit for being lawless. Because the sin is lawlessness. And we will get, and we covered this last week, but I'm just reviewing a little bit so that I can helping you get this and understand it a little better, I hope. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth." This is a verse that I want you to see that God gave Adam dominion over the earth. He was to rule over the earth. Now, the sin that Adam committed of lawlessness, because Adam wasn't deceived, Eve was. It's the deceitfulness of sin, the sin. Did you know the sin of lawlessness is deceitful? It can trick you up. Okay? Now, the sin is defined in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth the sin, there's a definite article, the before sin, transgresses also the law. For the sin is the transgression of the law. Now that is not a very happy translation. So I included Young's literal translation to help you to grasp the significance of the sin. Everyone who is doing the sin, the lawlessness also he doeth or doth do. The word doing and do are both in the present tense. And that's saying he who is practicing the sin is practicing lawlessness. And the sin is the lawlessness. Now what is lawlessness? Well, I think we saw a little bit of that if you've been watching any TV this week. Lawlessness being carried on in the streets of New Orleans. Looting. Shooting, not obeying authority. That's lawlessness. And if we live lawless lives, what have we said to God's Word? You have no authority over me. I can do and live and say and think and go where I want to go, and you have no authority in my life. That's what you're telling God when you live a lawless life. Adam chose the sin of Eve without being deceived. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing for the many. And you know what? Jesus Christ was demoted just like Adam was. And when I say demoted, I'm not saying that he was removed from the Godhead. What I'm saying is he stepped down from being co-equal with God. It's God the Father is the head over the Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, is head over the man. And man is the head over the wife. There's a chain of command, and it changed when Jesus Christ came. Okay? Now, Eve was deceived. 1 Timothy 2, 13 and 14 tells us that Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. In Hebrews chapter 3, 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin." I just want you to see that the sin of lawlessness is a deceitful thing. It can catch you on your blind side. Because everything seems so logical. It seems so to fit. And that's what happened to Eve. In Galatians 3:1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." I was looking at that, and I can see how you could read that in two different ways. He was either questioning God or just simply making a statement saying that, hey, God said you can eat of any tree in the garden you want to. Because that's what he was trying to get her to do, was to disobey God and deceive her into doing it. Now, let's go on. In verse 2 of Genesis 3, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And I use the Septuagint because it helps me to see what others saw in the Hebrew text. And what is seen in the Septuagint is this. The word die is a verb. And it's in the aorist tense. And she was right. You eat that tree, of that tree, you're going to die. Now, this is something that I've never thought about before, but I thought about it this week. The concept of physical death to Adam and Eve was foreign. They didn't know what that meant. At least I don't think so. Though I've heard people on the radio talk about how that death did exist in the garden because an elephant might step on an ant. Okay, well, it might happen, but we don't know that an elephant might have been very careful where he stepped so he wouldn't step on an ant. And as you saw Noah swatting a mosquito while he was collecting the 2x2, well, I don't know that Adam had troubles with a mosquito. I don't think the Garden of Eden was anywhere near Minnesota. Anyway. So, the concept of physical death did not apply. In other words, what he was saying here is that you were going to lose something if you ate of that tree. And by the way, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is shortcutting the method of how to learn the difference between good and evil. You've got to churn milk to get the butter to get that kind of knowledge. Okay? Let's go on. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, we see the commandment of God that God gave Adam. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day, that is, 1,000 years." One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In the day, during the day. And we know that Adam lived 930 years. So, what God said came to pass. But while he lived that 930 years, where did he live it? He lived it in pure misery. "In the sweat of thy face shall I eat thy bread." You won't be pulling fruit off of any trees. If you got any fruit, you're going to have to grow it. And the fruit on the ground's not going to really bear it. That's just like planting trees, fruit trees, and we got some plums this last week, and they had a fruit tree. They expected fruit on that tree. Well, Adam could plant a fruit tree, and it may not bear any fruit, and it, you know, and it may. But anyway, so. And he goes on and he says, that thou eatest thereof, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The word die is aorist indicative, no doubt about it. It's future tense. Excuse me, I said aorist. I meant future indicative, no doubt about it. But before the word thou shalt surely die in the Septuagint, it says thanatos death. This is the death that I've been talking about, the death, the thanatos death. The thanatos death, thou shalt surely die. In other words, you're going to experience that death. That's how I take it. And Adam did experience that thanatos death when he was kicked out of the garden. Now, the process of deception. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Total lie. You start listening to the devil, he's going to lie to you every time. He's the father of the lie, and he hadn't quit. And he says, you shall not surely thanatos the dying. Same phraseology that God used. He just contradicted them, her. Or contradicted God. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. To become a god, or in fact this word should be translated judges, to become a judge is to be promoted. Our president has got to nominate some Supreme Court justices. Is that a promotion? Yes, indeed. It's a promotion. It's a promotion to a lifetime position. And Satan is saying, hey, you eat that tree, you're going to be like us. Because, see, Satan was a god or a judge. The angels around Satan that fell were judges. In fact, the angels that didn't fall are judges. They're ruling and reigning over nations. The good angels are ruling and reigning over the nation of Israel. The fallen angels are ruling and reigning over the rest of the nations of the earth. So he says, you'll be a judge. You'll be a god as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, man, that's so logical, isn't it? Man, that tree is good for food. There can't be anything wrong with that. And wow, it's so pleasant to the eyes. You know, I wouldn't mind having this tree in my house, you know, or I wouldn't have to walk so far. Anyway, and a tree to be desired. And she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And they did eat. Now, when was he demoted? Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. You know what? Adam and Eve wanted to stay in. It kind of reminded me of the fella who went to the wedding feast. Without a garment, wedding garment. Have you ever wondered why they bound him hand and foot? Well, if they just bound his feet, he might have the ability to walk on his hands and go back into the wedding feast. You know, God had bound him hand and foot and took him out, and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because he was denied entrance into that wedding feast. So Adam was taken out of the garden. In fact, not only that, there were angels standing at the door. They could not go back in. Now, What happened is that Adam sinned the sin of lawlessness. And we know from Hebrews 1:9, it says that thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. The word iniquity is from the Greek word translated lawlessness. God hates lawlessness. And in particular, in His kids. And in more particular, the many that He has called unto His kingdom and glory. In Matthew 7:21-23, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is not talking about seeing the kingdom of heaven. This is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. If you're saved, like Nicodemus, you get to see the kingdom. If you do the will of the Father, you will enter the kingdom. And this is not talking about just walking down the streets of the kingdom. This has to do with the administration of the kingdom. This has to do with ruling and reigning with the Lord in the coming kingdom as a Lord or a king. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we been a great Bible teacher? That's what prophecy has to do. Of course, prophecy can be applied to things that they didn't know. You know, there was a prophet telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem because they're going to bind him hand and foot. He's going to get in trouble. But anyway, and in thy name have cast out demons. Let me tell you, Satan does not cast out Satan. You know why? Because Satan knows, just like the Lord knows, that a house divided against itself will fall. And so these are not lost people casting out Satan's people. Okay? These are saved people casting out demons. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. They are miracle workers. And they think that they, because of this, they deserve to enter the kingdom. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, a lot of people say, well, he never knew them. Well, he knew one thing about them. He knew they were lawless. Because he said, depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. He didn't know that. And I'm sure he knew a whole lot more than that too. He knew all the works that they had done and so forth. And he knew that they were not doing the will of the Father. So therefore they were living in lawlessness. And he says, depart from ye that work. Present tense. That means practice lawlessness. And they weren't doing the will of the Father. So, he hates lawlessness, and he is going to deal with those who are lawless that are in his family. In Romans 5:13, it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. During Adam's life, there was no law. And so, the sin of lawlessness was really not known, like it is known today, because we have more of the Scripture. Sin was here, but there was no sin in the world until the law. Sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. In other words, Abraham sinned, but he didn't get credit for it. It wasn't imputed unto him. It wasn't reckoned unto him, because he didn't have the law that God gave to Moses. Now, in Romans 7:7c, and I'm using the word C to let you know it's the latter part of that verse, it says, I had not known the sin but by the law. He says, I wouldn't have known about lawlessness if I hadn't known about the law. When I found out what God's commandments were, then I could understand what it means to be lawless. I just start practicing adultery, I practice stealing, I practice killing, you know, and on, and drunkenness. I just practice this, you know, just have more fun killing people and drinking and all this other. You know, if it hadn't been for the law, I wouldn't know what the sin of lawlessness was. In Romans 3:20, by the law is the deeper knowledge of sin. And I think this is not only the sin of lawlessness, but just same plain category of sin. The law gives me a deeper understanding of what sin is. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned or ruled from Adam to Moses." And I want to, I hopefully, Lord willing, next Sunday, I want to deal with that a little bit about death reigning from Adam to Moses. Why did it reign? And I'm not sure that it's as definitive as I'd like for it to be. But anyway, it says that death, the death, that is, Thanatos death, reigned from Adam to Moses. In other words, there were no people that lived from Adam's day until Moses that was promoted into a position of a king. Nobody began to rule and reign over the earth from Adam to Moses. Okay? Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come, that is Christ. Now, Christ suffered this death as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the death." Thanatos death, okay? For those that feared death. In other words, he died for those who feared the death from Adam to Moses, okay? "Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death." And I put the word "the" before death here so you could see that there was no definite article before the word death. In other words, you have the death in the first part of this verse, and then you have another death in the latter part of this verse, and it doesn't have the definite article before it. So it's not talking about the same death, in my judgment. Because this death was for every man. Where I judge that the suffering of death in the first part of this verse is for the many. Now, Luke chapter 9, 27 is an interesting verse. I just discovered it this week. I've read it, but I just discovered it this week. "But I tell you the truth, that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." What are you saying? What this verse is saying is this. There's some of you apostles, namely Peter, James, and John, we find that out later. You're not going to die physically until you see the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what this is talking about. He's not saying that you're going to drop into lawlessness. You're not going to drop into lawlessness till you see the kingdom. I think this has to do with tasting death, has to do with physical death. Just this, and that's the reason why I'm associating the death or tasting death of Hebrews 2:9 with physical death. It was the physical death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that was for all of mankind, for every man. But as I pointed out in previous lessons, Christ's death in the Garden of Gethsemane was for the many, in my judgment. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that hath the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham." What was Jesus Christ doing when he suffered the death in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was reducing the power that Satan has to cause you to turn from living a just life to lawlessness. That's the power that Satan has. Satan is not interested in just killing a lot of people. What he's interested in is he's interested in taking a child of God who has been pleasing God and turn him into someone who is lawless. And what Jesus Christ did when he partook of the death, it didn't. He didn't destroy the devil. The devil's still alive. The devil is still walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's not destroyed. So this word "destroyed" would be better translated to bring to naught. That is to reduce his power to cause you and I to become lawless. He's taken away some of Satan's power. When Satan was dealing with Eve, he had all the power. And it worked. And it was working from Adam until Jesus Christ came, because he had the power to cause the children of Israel to become lawless and those that were not under the law to become lawless. He had that power. But Jesus Christ turned off that power or reduced that power. Satan can still do it today. Satan can still cause you to rebel against God and cause us to live a lawless life. So he's reduced that power. And one of the things that we need to appreciate the fact is, if we submit to the influence of the devil, that we become lawless, you know what? John 8:34 tells us that we become slaves to it. Did you know that? When you slip into lawlessness, you're a slave to it. You're talking about being addicted to meth. Lawlessness is the same way. You fool around with rebelling against God, and you will one day find yourself where you cannot escape, except through the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth or practices the sin is the servant of the sin, the slave of the sin." And so, what is the devil's purpose? The devil's purpose is to get us to become lawless. And in 1 John 3:8 it says, "He that committeth or practices the sin is of the devil." You're rebelling against God's commandment, you know what? You're under the influence of Satan. "For the devil sinneth," present active, he practices sin. The devil practices sin. Did you know that? He has become very adept to sinning. "From the beginning, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And this word "destroy" here is not the same word that we were looking at before. It's the word "luo," and it means to release. That he might release us from the works of the devil. That's really why he came. He did not want us to be in bondage to the devil. And you know what? He has redeemed us from lawlessness. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness," that is the bondage of lawlessness, "and purify unto himself a peculiar people," that is servants of good works. That's what he wants, is a servant of good works. Zealous of good works. So what do we need to be doing? Well, I think that we need to be making our calling and election sure. And that we see in 2 Peter 1:10 through 11. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall as Adam fell. Adam fell out of his position of honor and glory as the king over the earth. We will not fall if we make our calling and election sure. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want, and that's what I want for you. I want you to enter the kingdom with honor and glory. I want you to become one of the kings, one of the lords. And you have to work on that. You have to make sure that you're on guard against Satan's devices. Lawlessness is the practicing of sin. And I'm not going to read Galatians. My. I just looked at the time. I'm sorry I've been so long. Anyway, if we practice sin, we're not going to inherit the kingdom. And if we sin, practice sin willfully, there's no sacrifice for that sin. May God help us to see the value of living for the Lord and not being caught up in lawlessness. God hates it, and you're not going to like it if you live that way. But Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to be delivered from that because He took upon Himself that demotion so that we would not have to be demoted in that day. Father, just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts and lives to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.